trumpet, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's a Monday. It's a Jim Traber Monday, and he is joining us right here off the top of the show. Jim, what's going on, man?
Nothing, fellas. I'm sorry. I got to be early today, but I got to go to a doctor at 9:30. So, you know how it goes.
And the only problem with that, now people are going to turn off when you have to go. That's why we save you for the later in the hour.
Well, hopefully they're tuned in now. I heard y'all's open for the first time. That sounded good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. It's we threw together a bunch of stuff. Man, like we were just talking about off the air, it's a shame that there's nothing going on in the world of sports. I want to talk with something. Start with something that happened at the end of last week, and that was the Kyler Murray deal with the Arizona Cardinals. I think, and I'd love to have your opinion, I think this is a gigantic risk that Arizona had no choice but to take because of how important the quarterback position is. But if you look at his track record with Cliff Kingsbury in the league, the last half of the seasons, he's a completely different guy than the first half. A lot of that has to do with just the wear and tear on a little guy like he is. What are your thoughts on that deal?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it is a big risk to take, but I think they have to do it the way the landscape is of quarterbacks now. You know, I don't know if you guys heard me on Friday. I read that stuff about Kingsbury and what he was at both places. You know, I mean, when he was at Texas Tech and with the Arizona Cardinals, at the end of the year, he goes down. I don't have the exact numbers, but every single year he would lose like 4 of 6 or 5 of 8 or 5 of 6. His last year with Tech, he lost 5 in a row to end the season, which, by the way, somehow got him a pro job. So, I mean, the quarterback has to have some blame for most things, but it looks like that Kingsbury has been that way for about 8 years. But look, I love Kyler Murray, man. I love the dude. I think he's a great player. But it was really mind-boggling last year the way he hardly ran the ball at all toward the end of the year. I mean, they play a playoff game against the Rams, and I think he ran it 2 times. I don't know how in the world any team with Kyler Murray is going to win a real big football game only running 2 times. So I don't know. I mean, I guess now that he's making this much money, he's going to have a lot more pressure on him. I think more people are going to watch what's happening. So it's going to be a big couple years for him. People are going to start, he's going to be under the microscope a lot more.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that the advantage to having those guys that can move and can run a little bit, there's no doubt that that creates tons of problems for the defenses. But even like the big guys, I mean, Cam Newton seemed indestructible at his size and the way that he could run it. But there's no doubt that his career has been limited, at least from a longevity standpoint. What about guys like, Josh Allen is a big dude like that. How much does it worry you if you're wanting to be, have him for another decade or so of that top level play? How much does it worry you, kind of being able to juggle those things? He has to run to be as effective as you want him to be, but also the wear and tear on the body to not quite make it as long as what you had hoped.
Well, I mean, look, running backs are. Look how short they are in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for it, because you take all those hits, it's going to be really, really hard for you to play a long time. So as a quarterback, I mean, look, they've made so many rules that protect quarterbacks, it's ridiculous. I mean, my gosh, it's just like a little sissified thing back there in the pocket nowadays. But when you start getting out there running, the other team's like, yes, now he's a running back. And, yeah, I do worry about Josh Allen and some of these other guys that run a lot. So, yeah, Kyler Murray is he runs the ball and he's little. That's not a good combination in the NFL,
The off-season stuff with Kyler, and you know, he cleared off his social media stuff, everything Arizona. Everybody thought, well, that was it. He's going to move on, and the coach is going to get fired. Was that all because just his way of negotiating to stay there and get paid like that? And do you think that'll have now that he's gotten paid? We kind of talked about this when he got paid or last week. Will affect his, you know, we've talked about, you know, the running and all of that, but will affect his play on the field. I get real worried about guys who get these huge contracts and then they don't play at a level like I think they should.
Well, you would hope that he wouldn't do that. But is that, I guess, I mean, have you guys, does he have the Cardinals back up on his social media now? I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know that. I guess that's the world we live in nowadays, where people are going to make statements on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. I guess that's the way it's going to be. But yeah, I didn't understand a lot about what he was doing. He obviously acted like he wasn't very happy. But now I guess he's happy, right? I guess when the daggone thing signed, was he get $105 million right then? Mm-hmm. Just going to give him a check. So that's pretty daggone good money. But you would think that he's happy now. He's going to play, be ready to go. I hope that the NFL doesn't turn into the NBA where, you know, you sign and then like a year or two later you say you want out, you want to go somewhere else. I mean, the Cardinals are the one that are showing him, confidence in him. I would hope that they would that he would go ahead and play with them. But, yeah, that whole thing in the old season now looks exactly what you said, Jared. Looks like it was a negotiating ploy, and he won. So, good for him. Now let's see how good he plays. You know, he's not going to have Hopkins for the first six games, so we'll see.
His latest tweet, he says, exciting times, and he tagged the Arizona Cardinals. So I guess he's on board with them again.
So, okay, that's good. So now he's back with the Cardinals. Good. That's nice. I'm sure that makes the Cardinals feel good.
Let's go to baseball. It's something that has been kind of underneath the radar, I think, for a lot of people, but as the pennant races are going to start heating up here over the next couple of weeks into the next month or so. Toronto, are you surprised that the Players Association hasn't tried to step in and not allow what's going on up there to go on? We're looking this week, the Cardinals are going there without Arenado, without Goldschmidt, because they haven't taken the vaccine. And with all of the things that are coming out about the uselessness of the vaccine, in as far as keeping you from getting that virus, are you surprised the Players Association hasn't done something because of the competitive advantage that Toronto enjoys for 81 games of every season? Hope that we lose him.
Kind of stuff, but they fight for their players. But I got to tell you, I think they're scared to death, guys. I really do. I think that this vaccine, you start talking about the vaccine, the minute you say something bad about the vaccine, people go, oh, you want a billion people to die. You know, I mean, that's exactly right. I was just in Canada, and they're tripping up there. I'm just telling you, they are tripping. I'm glad I was only there for like a half a day because I couldn't believe, I don't know how people are living like that up there. But yeah, I think it's a shame because it's like archaic. I mean, we now know that the vaccine does not stop people from getting this thing. We now know that. I mean, that is a fact. Matter of fact, I just saw something on TV today, early, just a little while ago, about how they got a whole thing about Biden talking about this is the pandemic of the unvaccinated. He said that a year ago, and then they played the very next thing was, I'm going to tell you that I have COVID. Yeah, I mean, he's been vaccinated the other thing. What's the other thing?
Boosted.
That's right. Jeez, I think I've forgotten all about it. Boosted. He's had it done, and he gets it. And I'm not ripping on him or anybody else. I'm just saying that it's pretty daggone obvious that it doesn't stop you from getting it or stop you from giving it to people. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know why Canada and Major League Baseball is living in the daggone past. You know, it's okay sometimes to say that you were wrong. Why can't people just go, you know what, we were wrong about this vaccine. We do believe it helps. We do believe that it helps, you know, maybe you not get as sick, although I don't know if they've actually proven that. But that's fine. I'll go with that. But why can't they just say they were wrong? What does it do? I mean, does it make it so that Pfizer doesn't make another $1 billion? I don't know, man. I I've never seen anything like this. Why won't the people from governments come out right now and say, we were wrong about this thing?
Cost,
but they're not going to.
It
cost
them votes. It cost them votes. It's all. I mean, you notice the gas price is going down.
Telling
because,
the truth?
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
That's the problem.
I agree. I totally agree. But it just cost them votes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really a sad time when telling the truth costs you votes.
Yep.
So now what happens? Can just imagine, the ALCS and the Yankees or whoever has to lose a player or two in the games in Toronto if that were to occur. I mean, it feels like this is setting up for baseball to get more mud in their eye by not just looking at data and accepting what is really the truth.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if that'll happen. Toronto's got a good squad. There's no doubt about it. And if they have to not let players in because of that, that would be really, really sad for baseball. And I would hope that not only the Players Association, but Major League Baseball would say something too. You know, wouldn't it be unbelievable if Toronto got in the playoffs and Major League Baseball said, sorry, if you're not going to let all the players in, all the games are going to be on the road.
Exactly.
That would be a great punishment. You know, say, okay, if you guys are going to live on this thing that we found out a year ago is not true, then you're going to play all 5 or 7 of your games on the road.
That seems like such a logical answer, because you can't get yourself in the situation if you're Major League Baseball to where some of your stars, the Yankees have been there, so we know like all their guys get to play. But there's a scenario of Aaron Judge or Stanton or somebody not being able to play in the marquee games of the year because of something that everybody knows is no longer a thing. It just seems like baseball can take a couple of steps forward, and then all of a sudden the step back is three.
The one thing, though, is, Skinny, is that they don't want to start a big old war with Canada.
Right,
because that would start a war. Canada would be livid, absolutely livid, and I really don't care, but you know that our country would care. So I mean, look, a lot of times the logical thing is no good, and you know, we can all sit here on radio and say this is the right thing to do, but I mean, if they did it, man, it would be a massive brawl. You know, it would be.
What do you make of the KD rumors to Boston that popped up overnight from Woj?
I think that the Nets, rightfully so, I think Sean Marks is talking to everybody in the league. I mean, I think that I will bet you that he's called every single general manager and said, I've got Durant and I've got Kyrie Irving. What can you do? I mean, that's what you got to do if you're going to do your due diligence. And that's what I think they're doing. I think it would be unbelievable. That'd be an unbelievable trade. I don't know. Durant and Odom are about the same player, are they not? Him and Tatum, they're about the same player. I don't know how that would work out. You definitely would need a point guard at that time. And they went out and got – didn't they go out and get a point guard? Help me, I can't remember. Skinny, didn't they get somebody?
Yeah, who did they get?
It wasn't Lowry. Well, who was it? They got somebody. Because I remember we talked about it, and then I said, see, there you go. They thought they needed a point guard too. I can't remember who they went. Conley, maybe? What did they get? I can't remember. But anyway, you'll need somebody to distribute the ball if you got both of those guys. The great thing about it is that Durant obviously can handle it. But, you know, this is the one thing that people don't realize for some reason. It just blows my mind. The more talent you put on the team does not give you a better chance to win. You know? I mean, I've said that for years and years. Going back to the Toronto Blue Jays that you just brought up, when I played against the Toronto Blue Jays, they had talent at every position, but they couldn't win it. So sometimes it doesn't matter how much talent you have. So we'll see Boston. I mean, Boston went all the way to the finals with this squad. If they just bring in a point guard, I think they got a great chance. But you know how it is. You want star power, right? Everybody wants to go get the stars.
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon is who they brought
in. That's who it was, Brogdon. Yeah, golly. I really like him right now.
Yeah, and the problem, I think, for trading Durant, if you're not somebody like the Oklahoma City or maybe a couple others with the picks, is you have to gut your team so much in order to find a way to fit him in there. I mean, I'm thinking, yeah, this could be, you know, the Tatum-Durant thing is kind of the same, but they can probably play with each other. But who else has to leave in order to be able to put him on that squad? Jaylen Brown is the headliner in that. But all
sounds like Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I'd say Marcus Smart and, you know, Robert Williams. I think everybody loved him in the playoffs until he was kind of almost too injured to do what he did. But, you know, those are pieces, and that was why it was so perfect in a bad way for people here was the fact that when he was able to go as a free agent out to Golden State, they didn't have to do hardly anything in order to make room for him.
Yeah, no, you're right. I got to tell you something. For me, the one dude I wouldn't get rid of is Robert Williams. I mean, I think he is such a valuable piece for that team, and he showed it whenever he was healthy. So, I don't know. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, we got to get better. Sometimes you don't get better. You know, I mean, maybe it looks like you get better, but I don't know if you do. Williams, Marcus Smart, and what's his name for Durant, I don't know if that makes him a better team, guys. I really don't.
Staying in the NBA, now that summer league's over, what's your impressions of the Thunder? It looks like they're on their way.
I don't know where they're on the way to, but yeah, they're definitely on their way. I mean, I don't think right away they're going to be real good, but I do think that some of these young kids look like they can really play. You know, I like what they're all about. I think that one of the things that's really going to be hard is to get playing time for everybody. I don't know how they're going to do that. You know, how are they going to keep everybody happy? And they got to also find out what these young guys can do. So, yeah, but I like what it looks. I mean, the Santa Clara Williams looks like the kid could really play. That would be a tremendous addition if they got a wing that could shoot the ball like that, play some defense. You know, I mean, thank goodness they didn't go out and get like an Andre Robertson again or a Terrence Ferguson. It looks like this is a kid that is more established, you know, shooting the ball. So, and then obviously the big fella Holmgren, I think, has a chance to be really, really good. So they're gonna be fun to watch. A lot more fun than they were last year. I guarantee you that.
What do you make of the contracts that they signed to keep the guys that they kept, Dort, and then also I know a guy that anybody that watches the Thunder loves, and honestly kind of loves to hate because he was too good, was Kenrich Williams, being able to both those guys stay in here.
I mean, Kenrich Williams, I mean, the guy is just a basketball player. And you're right, I wish he wasn't on the floor last year when they were trying to lose. As far as Dort's concerned, it's a weird thing for me. I understand because, I mean, it's a really nice contract to the Thunder, but it kind of messes me up a little bit as far as, you know, they knew the Williams kid. If they knew they were going to get the Williams kid or had a chance to get him, I don't know why they didn't wait a little bit, you know, because now they got all these dudes that have to play. And obviously, Dort's going to play. I mean, I like Dort and everything. I'd like to see him shoot the ball less. I mean, he shot it 7.7 times from three last year. That's just way too much. But hopefully this year it'll be a little different because last year sometimes he was the only, you know, lead player on the floor. But, for me, I probably would have waited on Dort. But, you know, we know that they're loyal. Now, like I say, loyalty can be a bad thing in sports. So we'll see down the road.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of that summer with Steven Adams and Oladipo, to where you almost got scared that somebody else was going to pay him so much you didn't want to match, but in all reality, there was nobody out there that was going to pay him that money.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody gave Dort a big old contract, so be it, but there's only a few teams that have space.
Right.
So I really think it was a great opportunity to just kind of wait a little bit and just wait for the draft. And then when you get Williams, you say to yourself, okay, we'll go ahead and let him play. You know, let the dudes play. And then halfway through the season, if Dort's having a great year, you can always go to his agent and say, hey, let's do this. He might say no. But I don't know, man. It didn't make a lot of sense to me, although I still think it'll probably end up being a pretty good contract, so that's not a bad thing. But, you know, they certainly don't have a problem with spending money. They need to spend some money.
Yeah, you just hope that they don't spend it on the wrong pieces, like we kind of saw the first time, to where they get themselves in a crunch and you can't kind of find the guy to get over the top.
You're exactly right.
I know you got to run. We appreciate you joining us here this morning. Have a great week, and then we won't talk to you next Monday, but the following Monday, and we'll be right around the corner from football.
Okay. 2 weeks from today, we'll crank it back up again. Just been a lot of vacation time, so I look forward to it, fellas.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jim.
See you. Bye.
All right, that was the Ultimate Jim Traber joining us here on a Monday morning on the Skinny on Sports. Lots of interesting things going on. There's plenty that we didn't even get into with him. Some juicy rumors out of the conference realignment that I saw over the weekend. You see any of that stuff?
No.
There's some teams from the Pac-12 that never even came on our radar. One in particular that you wouldn't think's a fit.
For the Big 12?
For the Big 12. I'll tell you about it next.
Interesting. Good tease. Now I want to know.
Probably one of the last ones I'd have put. Anyway, there's some connections.
Okay.
At least in the rumor world of conference realignment. Thanks to Jim Traber joining us early on a Monday, as he has some things going on, prior commitments. So he joined us for a few minutes to kind of get back in the flow. He's gone next week, but then that following Monday, gosh, that'll be April the 8th.
Well,
or, I mean, August the 8th.
Yeah, it'll be today. Yep.
August the 8th. So we'll be 3 weeks away from college football cranking up,
yeah.
High school football
high
cranking
school,
up.
Yeah.
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. If you have comments on what Jim had to say there, feel free to chime in or anything else that's going on in the world of sports. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside a listening area, you can stay in touch with us by logging on to KADSAM.com. You can live stream the show that way or download the Paragon app. And the app's got everything. 3 radio stations, the Penny News, Big Elk TV, and Paragon TV that'll be cranking up here in a month. With high school football, all the stuff is in right inside that app. And guess what? It's free to download. It's an easy deal. And then also we have the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you miss everything entirely, go back and listen on KADSAM or iTunes. All right. Any thoughts about what Jared had, or what Jim had to say there in the opening?
No, he spot on as usual. I'm really interested in this, the latest on the realignment stuff. We didn't really get into it with that with him, but I mean, you can't leave us hanging. So there's a team or a school that no one's kind of talking about, but maybe everybody should be.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things. I mean, if you can literally find just about anything you want to find with conference realignment and all the schools that possibly might be headed toward the Big 12. From the Pac-12. The one thing that it seems like, and listen, it's a dude on Twitter that has just tweeted a bunch of stuff out about it. He did call the USC and UCLA to the Big Ten over a year ago, saying that was the prize that the Big Ten had in their eye, and a big part of it was because Fox was telling them that, their big TV partner with the Big Ten. And so as this window gets closer to closing, with the invites or whatever, with that 30-day window, the Pac-12 has been trying to negotiate a new deal with the schools that are left to stay intact first and foremost, and it appears the ESPN is not having it. Those negotiations are not going anywhere near what the Pac-12 is, and specifically the schools that would be left, want to see. Makes sense to me, because if you're ESPN, why would you want to pay for two, or the potential to pay for two things, if you just have to pay for one? Meaning a Big 12 that has a bunch of those Pac-12 teams in it. Then you come to, okay, well, who are the networks that are involved? And it looks like the big domino will be what happens to the Big Ten's Tier 1 rights. There's thoughts out there that CBS is going to be a huge player in that. But that means wrestling it away from Fox. And if Fox is behind the scenes being able to kind of orchestrate conference realignment moves by the Big Ten, one would assume that they're willing to pay whatever they need to pay to get it. So if that domino doesn't fall in the way of CBS, now what do they do? Are they out? Or is the Big 12 obviously all of a sudden a hugely attractive property?
All great questions. You pose a lot of questions there.
So that's that. And then there's the conundrum of NBC and Notre Dame.
Right.
It's been reported out there Notre Dame is wanting $75 million a year.
From NBC.
From NBC to stay exclusive there the way they have been over these last, 30 years or what have you. I don't know that NBC thinks that is the correct figure for just Notre Dame. So now Notre Dame looking for helpers to add content to NBC in order to bolster that money to them. Cue the Big 12. And what that's going to look like. But there's a school out there that has not been mentioned yet until last night. One of the Pac-12 schools. That when you look at it through the prism of NBC and Notre Dame, makes sense. Who does obviously they play USC all the time, every year, but who else in the Pac-12 does Notre Dame play every year?
Stanford.
And there's thought out there that Stanford is being pulled along with the help of Notre Dame all of a sudden to be one of these schools that moves into the new Big 12, which off the surface feels like that is not even close to a fit. You know, those seem like complete 180s away from each other. But it looks to me like people will do crazier things for money in college athletics than that.
Well, yeah.
And that's just one of the ways to entice Stanford to do something that maybe they don't really want to do, but are starting to realize with the lack of Pac-12 money coming from ESPN that it may be a necessity in order for them to be able to even try to compete with the financial part of all
right.
this.
Right. You don't want to do it, but you might have to do it. And if you're the Big 12, wouldn't you love to have Stanford?
No, absolutely.
I mean, because the football, when it's good, it can be good. We've seen them be good. Just ask OSU. They played in the Fiesta Bowl so many years ago. And then the basketball has always been one of the top basketball programs in the country. And then it's Stanford. I mean, they're like the Harvard of the West, some have described them as. So you'd love to get them on. I mean, you know, administrators would love to have them in their conference to be associated with that. So that'd be a coup if you can get them into the Big 12. Would be a package deal with somebody else, Cal, Washington, Oregon, all of them?
Yeah, I mean, any and all. So if you're the Big 12, and let's just say that you have free reign to choose, how many do you take?
Is as many as you can an answer?
It's an answer, but it, but
you see, I mean, bigger is always better, and that's where college
yeah,
football's
maybe not.
Going.
Maybe not though, because here you the problem with all this is the brands, the names that you get, they have to pay for themselves to come into a bigger conference.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're spinning your wheels, or you're losing money by adding, and that's the last thing you want to do. Is to add teams that aren't going to bring value alongside with them. So for every team you add, that TV money has to be at a certain level in order for it to make financial sense to add them. And apparently, the quartet of Stanford and Cal, which another one. Can you imagine Cal in the Big 12? Man, that doesn't seem like a fit, but whatever. Apparently, those two, Arizona and Colorado, so those four, would be a revenue-positive add. I mean, it feels to me like, just reading the stuff I've read, Arizona is going to be in the Big 12 as fast as they can get here. I'm actually surprised they're not already here.
Yeah.
That feels like the one, and actually Colorado maybe is having some buyer's remorse for what has happened in the Pac-12. And wanting to get back a little bit, and I think that's got to be from a football standpoint, where you go out there, you think, oh, this is cool, and then you realize two schools out of 12 care about football as a fan base, and as a university, whereas that's clearly not the case here in the Big 12. Everybody does, but Kansas, you know, and sometimes that grass turns out to not be as green as you thought it would be, getting a hobnob with the hoity-toities on the West Coast. And then you go to the football game and you realize they're not there. You look around and go, huh? Wait a minute. I'm used to going to full stadiums in Norman and Austin and in Lubbock and Stillwater and everywhere else. Why is there 20,000 people here? Isn't this the marquee game of the week in the conference? Why does it feel like we're in Kansas?
It's, yeah, I experienced that firsthand at UCLA.
And for a football-loving school like Colorado always was in the Big Eight, that's a hard pill to swallow. So maybe that's kind of what they, okay, we tried this. It works in some ways, not in others, but in football it sure doesn't. So let's scooch on back to the East a little ways and play with some of those traditional rivals. I'm fascinated by all this stuff. And then where does that put Oregon and Washington? Because from a brand standpoint, the teams that are left in the Pac-12, those are clearly the two biggest brands, Oregon and Washington. Mm-hmm. So where do they fit? Are they just holding out against hope, or do they know something that a Big Ten invite's coming? Are they overplaying their hand because they think a Big Ten invite's coming? Because a big part of why the Pac-12 is seemingly about to disintegrate is because Oregon and Washington know what I just told you, that they are the two major brands, and in any Pac-12 negotiations right now to stay put and stay intact, they want more of the pie. Unequal revenue sharing, which the rest of them aren't willing to do.
I think it is more of a hold pat situation for those two. I do. I think you're right. Because if they thought that an invite to the Big Ten was coming, wouldn't it have come at the same time with UCLA and USC? Wouldn't that discussions have happened, I guess, a year ago up till now?
Yeah, I mean, that's
– Why bring two in and then wait a few weeks and then go, okay, how about two more?
I don't know. I don't know if
– Seems odd to me.
I don't think there's some sort of gentleman's agreement between, you know, Greg Sankey and Kevin Frazier. Is that his name? Not Frazier. The Big Ten commissioner. Of kind of here's where we want to get to. Because yeah. I know the ACC is in peril as well. Because it feels like all that has to happen there for that thing to be toast is for the SEC to say, hey, Clemson, hey, Florida State, come on over. And then, boom, that one's gone too. And so that's – isn't it amazing in a year's time? I mean, last week was the year anniversary of the OU and Texas stuff to the SEC coming out into the public square. And in a year's time, with losing the two major brands in the conference, but it feels like the Big 12 is in a way stronger spot now than they were then.
That is crazy. Because it felt like, okay, it's just a matter of time before the Big 12 breaks up.
Yeah, everybody else in the Big 12 outside of OU and Texas were looking.
Right.
And isn't it ironic? Wouldn't it be just the Alanis Morissette ironic if all those Big 12 schools who were looking for a lifeline, looking for a life raft from the Pac-12 at this time last year were turned down flat? Wouldn't it be ironic if those schools came back a year later and the ones to put the death knell in the Pac-12?
That would be funny. That would be funny if you're the Big 12 in, you know, those schools, just to sit in on that meeting and go, well, look who's come crawling this way. Oh, they could hold them ransom. They could say, listen, you didn't want us last year. This is what we want. If you want to be with us, this is what we need.
Well, and you wonder.
Get ready for some 9:30 kickoff times, your time.
You know, I've seen some pretty radical things, too, about that, as far as if that were to come to pass. More of the idea of, okay, nobody likes 11 o'clock games, but it is the major window. 11 o'clock on Fox, 2:30 on CBS, and then ABC at night. You know, those are kind of spoken for.
Mm-hmm.
So what if one of the new players, be it NBC or CBS, with the other channels that they have at their disposal, what if the idea is, let's create new ones? Is it a Thursday night? Is it a Friday night? And then those late Saturday games. Do you try to figure out a way to monopolize these contracts through different times, like a totally different idea of when to play college football. The Thursday night one is a little shaky because then you're going head-to-head with the NFL.
Yeah.
And that Thursday night game. But Friday night, you know, I know in certain states that's not going to go over well because of high school football.
Can you remember last time you seen a – maybe it was when we played Thursday night, but we were able to sit down on a Friday night and actually watch a college game that was on. But you know what I did on my Friday nights off? I watched other high school games.
That's, you know,
so
and that's,
still high school's king in some states, in especially
this day,
Texas
in
and
Texas,
Oklahoma.
That's yeah. right. And that's where some of these schools reside. But I think it also gives you a little look into the fact that the schools on the West Coast don't care about football as much.
No.
And so all it is a revenue generating, and maybe that's fine. Maybe that goes to those teams. You know, but I think it would definitely be something that is completely out of the box thinking to be able to try to maximize those TV windows in order to maximize what that dollar figure is from a CBS or an NBC if things stay the way they are, which is the ACC, the SEC is basically ESPN's conference, and Fox has the Big Ten. Then somebody else steps up. And it looks like the Big 12 is going to be that third one, as shocking as that would have been to say a year ago. I mean, what would you have done? I walked in here right that next day after we hashed out, oh, my gosh, Oklahoma and Texas are going to the SEC. And then just like at the end, I would have said, yeah, but you know what, Jared? Doesn't matter. Big 12 is going to be stronger a year from now than it is right now. They're gonna end up with Stanford and Oregon and Washington and Arizona and Colorado into the conference. So I don't know what you're worried about. I don't know. Somebody coming here, would it have been like the gong show? We heard a gong and I'd had to quit talking on the radio forever, put in a straitjacket.
People would think you're crazy.
Yeah, and that's where we've gotten to.
This whole situation's crazy. Has been. Realignment is nuts. It is nuts. And it's nowhere near done.
Nowhere near. And there's no limit to what you could think about it. Like nothing is too crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's nothing that's too crazy in this stuff. It can be anything. And here's one. On the just got a text. Will the Big Ten or the SEC? Those are the two that are kind of established right now. We know who's going to be in them. In order to even maximize further, I wonder what the legal remedy. I don't even know. I'm just gonna throw this out there though. What if at some point here in the near future, say the SEC wants only 16. They don't want any more mouths to feed. They only want 16. But you know what? They also see that there's a couple of really attractive schools over there in the ACC. Do they go to Missouri and Vanderbilt and go, tell you what, we appreciate you, but you're not carrying your water. So at the end of this grant of rights coming up in 2024, we're going to go ahead and have to see you go, because Clemson and Florida State are chomping at the bit to take your spot. Do you see any of that being possible?
Has that ever happened? Has a conference ever kicked schools out?
I don't think for underperforming on the football field, no. They might have for other reasons. But is that something that even the schools that are seemingly safe? Oh, here you go. Tulane got kicked out of the SEC right here.
When, like 35?
Must have been a while back.
It had to be a bit back.
So, one, could it happen? Legally, we don't know. But is that something, because of how important it is to add the right teams, and quite frankly, I think to stay at the lowest level you can while still being kind of big. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just end up having 24 in every conference, because then the money won't be as much. And this is all happening because of money. So is there a situation to where all of a sudden you're looking at Rutgers and Indiana, see you by from the Big Ten, so that Oregon and Washington can come in, and then Mizzou and Vanderbilt, well, move on. Your spot's taken.
anything's possible. And nothing would shock me. Nothing would surprise me. But from a PR standpoint, the SEC would look really bad if they went and start kicking teams out because of the performance on the field and not so much like in the classroom or, you know, stuff like that. But I'm sure that if that were to happen, the SEC would find a way. Well, listen, the official statement of kicking them out from the league was because they weren't graduating enough of their players. Yeah. And
it's
going to
be a hard sell
kind of,
on Vandy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be hard to sell that one on Vanderbilt.
We kicked them out because they had this whistler at their baseball games, and we couldn't stand it anymore.
It would be a little bit – but this has always been kind of my vision of it. I always thought of it as because there's 65 Power 5 teams right now. Mm-hmm. That's an odd number, and it's just not going to work. But if you had four 16s, 16-team conferences, Kansas can be out first because they've been the worst. But it's like the English soccer, like the relegation.
Yeah.
And you have the two from each conference that'll go to the playoff, and you have two from each conference that'll go down. And then the other guys will have their season, and they'll figure out a way to get eight of them up, and you just constantly recycle that bottom.
It's crazy.
It's kind of what we're talking about. It's crazy. Here. I think that'd be fantastic.
By the way, Tulane and SEC, they basically had a mutual agreement to part ways.
Part ways.
There was a fundamental difference in opinion regarding scholarship limits. That was back in 1964.
Okay.
They were in the conference. They were one of the first. They were one of the first members in 1933 of the SEC. So they're in the conference for a little over 30 years before they decided.
Here's another reason why my idea would be awesome. Think about right now. By the time we get to November with the current playoff, the West Coast doesn't care.
Right.
Because most of the time they don't have anybody involved. The Northeast doesn't care unless Notre Dame's in, for the most part. So you're limiting everything to just the Southeast and, say, Ohio and Michigan. But if there were games down the stretch between two crappy teams and it was for relegation and the loser was no longer in,
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It adds something to those games, to those random Tuesday night
awful
games,
yes,
that are out of the MAC or something. Yeah, something like that. But I see what you're saying.
Here's
it would add to it.
This is a great question to ponder as we go to break. Will all the powerhouse teams still want in the SEC because of what the schedule is going to become? Would they benefit from staying out and an easier path to the playoff? Don't answer. We'll come back. We'll talk about that.
All right. It's a good question.
It is a very good question. We're wrapping up with the final segment on a Monday. Talking conference realignment, and here's the question on the table via the text line, 225-9698 is the phone line, the text line, 225-9698. Question is this: with all these powerhouse teams, will all these powerhouse teams still want in the SEC? Turning into a death march of a schedule, would they benefit by staying out to be able to run the table easier and get to the playoffs? I'm going to stop there because there is one more sentence that I think is the answer to this question. And that's why the answer to this question is yes. They will all still want to be in the SEC. Money.
Oh yeah, that's money. All this is about.
I think there's two things within this question of why the answer is yes, they will still want to be in the SEC. Money and access. Obviously, we all know what money is. What's access mean? Access to the playoff by being in one of these two conferences.
Yeah.
The problem, I get the question, and I think it's a valid one. I think in a perfect world, hell yes, Clemson wants to stay in the ACC and run that table and have just a open door to the playoffs.
Right.
Hell yes, OU or Texas, if they're ever any good, wants to stay in the Big 12 because of how much simpler it is. We know Lincoln Riley wanted that out at USC with the Pac, but that's in a perfect world. And this world isn't perfect because this world is all about the money. And in a lot of ways, in order to be able to compete on that level, you're going to have to be associated with one of these two leagues, maybe the third being the Big 12, to a little bit smaller financial standpoint, but still close enough to where you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, that was going to be my answer, is the money. It's why you'd want to stay there. And then you could afford to, if you're in one of these big conferences and you're going through that murderer's row of a schedule, you know, in some conferences, one loss looks bad because you lost to a Kansas State as opposed to an Ole Miss. And so you could afford to maybe lose two games and still get in to the playoff, whether, you know, when it is expanded, you know, that's still going to be a factor of, you know, who gets in and why and all that stuff. Well, they got two attractive losses there. They lost to some pretty good teams because they play good teams week in, week out. So, yeah, you'd want to be in there. You know, but the money is the big driving factor of all this. Is, yeah, why leave a conference and get paid less just to have an opportunity to have an easier road to go to the playoffs?
Well, and I think we're so, at least right now, we're kind of programmed to think of the access to the playoff and a 4-team playoff. You've kind of got six or seven different aspects fighting. So there'd be seven different entities, I guess, fighting. You've got the five Power Fives that we're used to anyway, with the PAC, the Big 12, ACC, SEC. You've also got Notre Dame. And then you've got the little guys, the group of five. So there's seven mouths to feed in that scenario. Well, if what's happening looks like it's happening, you can take the little guy out. They're done. You can take the ACC out if it starts to splinter and break apart because the SEC wants, you know, three more teams or whatever. And it looks like the pack is gone. So now you're down to three mouths to feed for 8, maybe 12 spots, as opposed to 7 to fill 4. And that's where, even though, sure, like you're saying with the losses, if it's just those three conferences, and let's say you put Clemson, Florida State, Miami, and whoever else to get to 20 on the SEC side, and then let's say you put North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Virginia, and somebody else in the Big Ten. And then those Pac-12 schools end up in the, you know, a bunch of them end up in the Big 12. Everybody's kind of got 20. You know, at that point, you're talking about three lost teams making the playoff, especially if you get to 12.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you guarantee each conference two. Well, you still got to find six more. And so that's where you don't mind going through it, because A, you're getting paid an immense amount of money, more than you would, and B, you've still got as much, if not even more, access to one of those playoff spots than you do right now.
Right.
Because I'm afraid if it looks like the way it's going, that you're going to have two major power brokers in college football, being those two conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC. Does that mean you have to run the table if you're an ACC? You know, they're making this up as they go. They're kind of in charge. So what are the stipulations they put on you for not going through their conference ringer of a schedule?
Right.
So, yeah. But the real answer is money. Money is the real reason why anybody and everybody that gets an invite from the Big Ten or the SEC is taking that so fast it'll make your head spin.
Right.
Because of the immense amount of money. More than they'll be making where they're at right now.
Yes. Yes.
Juicy stuff. Very, very juicy stuff. What about KD? We were talking to Jim about the proposed trade, I guess, between Boston and the Nets, with Kevin Durant going for some sort of package that includes both Jaylen Brown and, it looks like, Marcus Smart. You know, if this was 3 years ago and you're Boston, I think it's an absolute no-brainer. You've got to make this move. Kevin Durant's a little older. He seems to be just fine off the Achilles. Has now played, what, two seasons since he came back from that injury. But he is getting a little older. And so I think that makes you pause just a little bit. But do you still do it? If you're Boston.
If you're Boston, I would. I would give pause and maybe use the old factor as a bargaining chip. to maybe not have to give up so much to get him. But I would still, yeah, I'd do whatever, not whatever it takes, but I would push hard to try to get him on. Yeah.
Yeah, because I still think for the next two or three, I mean, he's still one of the top three to five players in the game.
Right.
One of the top three to five difference makers in the game. And the thing that having him, and we saw this when he was on the ridiculous team out in Golden State, his game translates with anybody. Like, he's one of the few players in my mind in the NBA that can literally play with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
He just is. And, you know, here you go. Heck no. I wouldn't take that sissy Texan. I get it. I know there's still that the dislike of that guy here for sure. But, man, he just, you know, the playing with Tatum, yeah, they're similar. But the difference is, you know, we saw Durant. He was able to be a small ball five and hold up on those Golden State teams. You know,
right.
You know, I would watch those games, look around, go, where was this defensive effort? All of a sudden, he's protecting the rim? What?
Yeah.
And by the way, pretty good at it. So that's, man, his game is so flexible that I think he fits with anybody. And for the next couple of years, he's still one of the best ones in the league.
Yeah, I. But yeah, all that personal stuff aside, anybody would be lucky to have him right now because he's still, I think, playing at a high level. Arguably, still in his "quote unquote" prime. Eventually, that will fall off. It always does. You've seen it all the time. But I think there's a lot of years left in him, and you'd still want him. And he would put. I think he would. He'd put a lot of teams over the top, but he would definitely help Boston, depending on who they give up.
Yeah,
I mean it's a risk reward, but he's a guy where they could give up some key pieces, but he makes up for that. And then what happens afterwards? Who wants to come play with him? So it's interesting.
Here you go. let's move Giddy and SGA and do that deal right now.
Yeah, it's easy to say when it's not your team you're
rooting for. No, I'm in.
You're good with it?
Heck yes. No offense to Giddy and even SGA, as good as he might be able to be, but they ain't Durant. Can you imagine Durant and Holmgren together? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Now we're having fun. Jalen Williams, the Santa Clara one, played point guard in college, so there you go. He could be the point guard. Then we don't have the log jam with him and Dort. I mean, talk about long and lanky. Put Baisley out there with him. You got 3 7-footers that weigh 190 pounds. Here's yeah. Did you see Draymond? Did you see what he said?
Yeah, I said that the 17 Warriors could beat the.
He said they beat the Bulls, and they'd beat the Jazz team that he was watching play the Bulls in the finals by 40.
It's so hard. It's almost comparing. I know it's the same sport, but it's almost comparing apples to oranges on that one because the way it's played is totally different. But I would love to see a Dennis Rodman versus Draymond Green matchup underneath the hoop.
Oh man,
there will be blood.
Yeah, that 7-8 series absolutely has a fist fight.
Yes.
And listen, I'll tell you who wasn't no slouch. On the other side, on the other team, the game he's watching, you think Draymond Green wants any of the mailman Karl Malone?
Yeah. So that's the difference between the game then and now.
That's right.
There's a lot more toughness back then.
Draymond might be a tough guy. He might also be a fake tough guy.
Exactly.
This year, Karl Malone was a tough guy.
Yeah.
A real one. He was like a cowboy.
Yeah. So that's where I give pause of actually thinking that Golden State team could beat that Bulls team. And then, oh, by the way, there's a guy named Michael Jordan.
There is Mike. You know, that his point was who's going to guard. You know, how would that match? That's an interesting matchup because Scottie Pippen was one of, if not the best perimeter defender ever to play the game. So he's running around out there. But guess what? He's also big enough to where he could guard Durant. MJ can guard anybody. You know, Tony Kukoc versus Draymond. Rodman versus Draymond. There's some juicy matchups there.
Yeah. Very, very juicy. There's one way to do it. You just go get a video game and find that team against the other team. Can you do that still?
Oh, I bet. But
remember, you could do that on Madden, and you can go get some classic teams.
Simulate it.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Draymond, I tell you what, he's irritating even when the season's not happening. He still irritates people.
And he knows it.
Oh, yeah.
He knows
there's never going to be any way to prove himself right or wrong because all those Bulls dudes are 50.
Right.
Maybe that's what. Maybe once the Warriors guys retire and get just a little bit older, then maybe we can see. Have the 58-year-old Rodman versus the 45-year-old Draymond.
Well, what's going to happen like 25 years from now is that there's going to be another Draymond-type player on a team currently in a dynasty spouting off the same things about the Warriors. Our team could beat that 17 Warriors team. So, it ekes me a little bit because more and more we're seeing a lack of respect for the greats. And maybe it's not coming from a disrespectful place when him saying that. I mean, it's respectful to consider that Super Bulls team one of the greatest of all times, and then he's going to try to compare his Warriors team to that team. But for another side of it, it's a little disrespectful. Like, man, that team was awesome, amazing, and you're going to say you could beat them? It's a little disrespectful.
Yep, so was theirs.
Huh?
So was the 2017 Warriors.
Yeah. I know.
I just think they're too new. They're too new to be considered one of the greatest teams of all time yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, before we go, happy anniversary to my wife. 13 lucky years.
Lucky 13.
I'm a lucky guy.
Everybody have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.